Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Great. Just stay on your feet for a moment. It's a real privilege for us this morning to have David and Karen Davis with us. Many of you will know them. Maybe some of you don't. But they lead a congregation and ministry based up on Mount Carmel in Israel. But a real key national leaders in the nation of Israel. And God has really used them over many years to really pioneer his kingdom purposes in that nation. And they have a strong prophetic anointing, you know, upon their lives and the ministry that they're involved in. They travel widely as well, really helping the body of Christ get the right understanding from the Word of God about what God says about his own purposes on earth to do with Israel and the nations. And a real understanding of the times that we're living in and how that connects in with the Word, and bringing a real understanding and revelation from the Word as to what God is doing in these days as well. So we're going to have a great morning with these guys. Now, David, when he was here a number of years ago, actually was the person who brought that prophetic word 5 or 6 years ago about the mandate that God wanted to give us as Kingdom Faith about being a lead boat in this nation to do with the purposes of Israel. Now, we've got a number of copies of the DVD that are available at the back. They're only £5 in the hub. If you want to get one of those and listen to that, that will really help you to, if you haven't heard it before, really understand what God spoke to us as Kingdom Faith and how you'll be able to see since then what has happened as a result with all the stuff we're involved in. But, you know, something was triggered that day and released that day, and God has been orchestrating things since then. And so I've really been looking forward to this morning and what God's going to say and bring into the life of who we are, but also how we need to move with God in these days. It's not just about what am I going to get out of it, a bit of a revelation, but actually it's what do I need to understand in God to actually move with God in these days in relation to his purposes, and which are far bigger than any of us, but, you know, God's big enough to catch us up and catch us in with what he's doing. So I want us to give these guys a massive, massive welcome, really honour them. And Karen's going to come first of all and really sort of minister with a couple of songs. But I want us to really honour these guys as they come as a man and woman of God, but as they come as really part of God's purpose in the nations. And I want us to really, really honour them and the word and the ministry that they're going to bring. You ready? Come on, let's give them a great welcome.
Hallelujah. It's such a joy for us to be here. The Lord brought us to England at this particular time for the conference in London that was called Time to Arise. And I hear the sound of the warrior bride arising in this hour. And I hear it here. The sound is coming forth. And truly, we are the Lord is raising up an army worldwide. And we are privileged to travel in and out. We're based in Israel. This is our home. We're Israelis. 20 years ago, the Lord moved us out of America. And we packed our bags and have never returned. We do visit, but our home in our position, we've taken our position on top of Mount Carmel, which is one of the high places, a strategic, we've become what we think of ourselves as a strategic radar station. And as we hear, we listen to what the Spirit is saying, and we are proclaiming, positioning ourselves, standing still to see the salvation of the Lord come forth in Israel and also in our whole surrounding region. I think my husband's going to speak about, of course, here we are this weekend, and so many things are shaking right in my neighborhood in Egypt, and hallelujah, praise God. But the kingdom of God is advancing, and we're hearing the sound. The Lord is just moving among the nations, and he's stirring people in the Middle East. The Lord is revealing himself in miraculous ways. Hallelujah. The Lord has given us battle songs, hallelujah, to shout unto God with the voice of triumph and to take our position. We're running the race with endurance, hallelujah. And Praise God, because we're fixing our eyes on Yeshua, the mighty God, asking the Lord to make us seers, to see him high and lifted up, to know that, I love one of the songs we sang this morning, the future is won. The future is won. The word of the Lord is established in heaven. Forever it is established in heaven. Hallelujah. So we are not shaken by what we see. We're not shaken by what we hear, and because we're standing on the rock. So I want to share a couple of the songs that have really become theme songs for us together. So let's stand. Hallelujah. You can begin the track. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Lord, we stand here today, oh God, exalting the King of Kings. Lord, as, praise God, as Jew and Gentile together in one body. Hallelujah. I have set the Lord before my eyes, so my heart will not be shaken. I will lift my heart and worship him. I will wait upon the Lord. I will lift my eyes up to the hills, to the God of all creation. I will lift my heart and worship him. Yes, I will glory in the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will lift my eyes to the Lord on high, and I will praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sinai. Sinai, El Adonai, Ozi. El Adonai, Osei Shemayim. Ahalel Oto B'chol Ibi. Eshtachavel Adonai. Up to the hills, to the God of all creation. I will lift my heart and worship him. I will glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, let your glory fill the earth, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Shuranda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Be exalted, oh God.
Surely, 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 I will surely visit you. Surely, I will visit you. I hear the cries of the praying women. I will bring you back from the precipice through the prayers of the saints, the praying women, the praying men. But I am desperately looking for a Joshua generation, an Elisha generation, to step out and take the land. You've been called to be the lead boat. Everyone needs to get in the boat. A fresh wind is coming. A wind of your spirit to take you to the other side. Hallelujah. I'm so blessed to see this young worship team. I'm so blessed to see young people. This Joshua generation needs to stand and take the land. I believe it will happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's be seated. I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner or a sign for the people. The Gentiles will seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. The phrase "in that day" in Hebrew, "b'yom hahu," the prophets use it prophetically, and they're speaking about a day that would be coming that they didn't see in their time, but they saw coming. And it represents a day of transition between the world we're in and the messianic age to come. And the prophets use it over and over. They talk about the latter days. They talk about the end times. But when they talk about in that day, this is our day. These things are coming to pass now as we move forward toward the finish. Hallelujah. In that day is this day. We see the day, that day that the prophets were talking about. And here's one of them right here, verse 11. It came to pass in that day. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand a second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamat, and from the islands of the sea. It says the Lord in that day will purchase, will redeem his people, talking about the Jewish people, and it shall come to pass that it will happen a second time. It is not talking about the Babylonian captivity. It's talking about our day. Well, I will bring them back from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And when we see that we are in that day, we align ourselves with the Word of God, and we pray the prophetic Word of God. We get in the boat, we catch the wind of the Spirit, and it takes us to a place we've never, ever been before. And Britain, the Lord has a call on the British church. The mandate has never ended. You are called to be a Cyrus nation to stand with the Jewish people because of your great legacy of your missionaries and the great revivals that impacted the whole world, including my former country, America. The Wesleys came there. Everywhere they went on their horses, revival broke out. You have this tremendous legacy. And the Lord is now speaking to this next generation. This is the day. In that day is this day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now in Isaiah chapter, look at verse 12. In that day, I will set up a sign for the nations. What is the sign? I will assemble the outcasts of Israel. No generation has ever seen this before. He's assembled he who judged them and swept them out of the land for disobedience, which should be an example to us, says, I will regather them. And he says, this is the sign. This is the sign for today, in that day. They saw it from a distance. I'm here to tell you, I'm standing on Mount Carmel where I live, and 100 nations have come back, and 15,000 Jews have turned to the Lord, and more Jews are getting saved now than any time since the book of Acts. It's this day. It's happening now. And we need to see the sign. The British church needs to see the sign. I will set up a sign for the nations, assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather the dispersed from the four corners of the earth, from all over the world. They're coming back, meeting Jesus on the mountains of Israel. As soon as I get back in a few days, we will baptize a young man whose father is a well-known rabbi. You may not understand how miraculous this is, but if you live in Israel, you'll know. You would know. This young man became a drug addict, lived on the streets. He's on fire for Jesus. His father came to our drug rehab to see what was going on, the rabbi. Hallelujah. Pray for the rabbi and his mother. He will be baptized with an Arab named Jihad. Let me say it again. An Arab named Jihad and the son of a rabbi. And another guy that will be baptized with him is from Moscow, a Jew from Moscow, became a drug addict, living on the streets of Haifa. He is a concert pianist. We just got a keyboard for House of Victory. The guy's starting to worship the Lord. Delivered from demons and all Satanism, all kinds of stuff. These guys are being saved right now. Jews and Arabs. Listen, these prophecies are being fulfilled right now. Hallelujah. In that day is our day. This day. Hallelujah. Now, Friday night, we were getting ready to start this conference. We had to keep the TV on, or we had to somebody get on their BlackBerry or something to find out what was happening in Egypt. Now, let me show you what's happening in Egypt. Turn to Isaiah 19. Isaiah 19, verse 19. In that day, here we are, hallelujah. In that day, we're in this transitional phase of history and prophetic history between the world we know now and the world to come. There will be terrible darkness, but the light overcomes the darkness. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it says here, in that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt and a pillar to the Lord at its border. And it says in verse 20, it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a savior. This is about Egypt. In that day, in this day, this is what's happening on your television set. You need to pray for revival in Egypt right now. The Lord said he's going to send them a Savior, a mighty one, and he will deliver them. Look, when you see 100,000 Muslims on their knees and worshiping a false god on Friday in Cairo, what about the body of Christ? Pray for the body. I have a friend who's a leader in Egypt. He said, pray for the youth and pray for the body. Wouldn't it be great for the Kingdom Faith youth, for the youth of Britain, to be praying for the youth of Egypt for a great revival to break out? And it's going to break out because it says it. Hallelujah. Now, look what he says here. Verse 22. The Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. Hallelujah. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord. This is what the word says in that day. This is what's on your television set. This is our neighborhood, the Middle East. This is what's happening. He says, in that day, hallelujah, he will heal it. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. We pray for the body. Have the body in Egypt get on their knees and face and cry out for the Muslims and cry out for the nominal Christians that he will bring a great wave of the Holy Spirit to Egypt. Now look what happens. Verse 23. In that day. Say in that day. Now say this. In that day is my day. In that day is this day. See, Isaiah saw it, but we're living it. We're in the middle of it. He says, in that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. 18 years ago, a group of leaders in Israel, we hired a bus and we went to Egypt. And we'd been in touch with some Egyptian Christian leaders, president of a Bible school, some other people. And we were standing on these promises that in Isaiah 19, it says there is going to be a great revival in the midst of the world, in the midst of the earth. And as we went on that bus, we had Israeli armed vehicles with us over to the Sinai. Then Egyptian army took us into the Cairo, and we met with leaders from Egypt. And Jewish leaders, and Gentile leaders, and Arab leaders from Israel, and we all sat in a big circle in a sleazy nightclub in the basement of this place. And there were secret police there that were recording what we were saying. So you couldn't say Muslim, you couldn't say Islam, you had to say our friends. I didn't understand it at first, but the pastor said, shh, don't say that. And we testified. Jews and Egyptians. Now, many Egyptians are not Arabs. They speak Arabic. They're Africans. I mean, one of them, a friend of mine, I spoke at his church. Muslims are getting saved there. He said, I'm an Egyptian. The Jewish apostle Mark brought the gospel here. My people go all the way back to when a messianic Jew came here and told us about Jesus. You know, Islam came in and took over the nation and changed the language and so on. So look what it says. This is what's going to happen here. 24, in that verse 20. In that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth. Do you see that? In that day, this day, Egypt, Israel, Assyria. Who is Assyria today? Can we put up this map that I think we have? I'll show you who Assyria is today if I know how to work this thing. Here's Egypt. If you look carefully, that little place like right there, that's Israel. Now, if you look up there, that's my house. See my house right there? Now, you might notice that there are 300 million Muslims and 7 million Jews on this little sliver of land. The odds don't look good, but we have the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And so when you look at what's happening here, right here, Egypt is where the highway begins. It says Egypt will be one of three with Israel and Assyria. Assyria is this area here, Turkey, southern Turkey especially, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Jordan, parts of Saudi Arabia, Iran. That's where the Assyrian Empire was. And it says all these nations and Israel and Egypt are going to be a blessing in the midst of the earth. We call it the Isaiah 19 highway. That's why we went there 18 years ago. For 18 years, we've been meeting all over the Middle East. Well, not all over the Middle East, in secret places in the Middle East. You can leave that up if you like. And we meet in hotels in Cyprus or Jordan and places like that. And we bless each other and we know what's happening in our churches. And I'm telling you, all of these people from the Isaiah 19 highway, they stand with God's purposes for Israel. And we stand with God's purposes for Egypt and for Iraq. Iraqis come there. It's amazing. They get down on their knees and beg forgiveness of Jewish people because of what the Babylonians did centuries ago. It's incredible. People are weeping and just, it is this wonderful, wonderful foretaste of what God wants to do in the Middle East. And the church needs to align itself with God's roadmap. This is God's roadmap, not the EU's, not America's, not Russia's or anybody else's. This is what God is doing. It's a highway in the desert. And he says here, there will be a highway. And I don't think it means a four-lane, six-lane carriageway or whatever you call it here. I think it is a highway of the heart. It's a highway of holiness. It's a highway of prayer. It's a highway of sanctification. It's a highway of prophecy. It's a highway of the word of the God, of the word of the Lord, all through the Middle East. And I'm here to tell you, the shaking in Egypt is so significant that if you will pray, if we will pray and say, Lord, fulfill this now. Let revival blast out of Egypt. Now, revival's already started in Egypt. Hallelujah. I mean, the Coptic church is under persecution from Muslims and all that. But there are huge meetings in a huge cave outside of Cairo. Satellite television is bombarding, Christian television is bombarding Egypt now with a powerful evangelist. He has to hide. He's in Europe and different places so the Muslims won't get him. But I'm telling you, the Middle East, even though there are going to be these eruptions, it's like the Isaiah 19 highway is erupting. Not only is there this eruption in Egypt, down here in Yemen, there's eruptions going on. I mean, it's like the whole Islamic world in the Middle East is starting to erupt. Here's our northern border right up here, Lebanon. You probably know that Lebanon, in the last couple of months, the government collapsed. Hezbollah, the terrorist organization that has 40,000 missiles and rockets aimed at Haifa, 20 miles from where I live, they're trying to take over Lebanon right now. Turkey has gone into the Iranian axis and taken itself out of being involved with Israel. We have a peace treaty with them and with NATO and with the West. And so we can see all these nations are lining up with these eruptions, but we have the highway. Yes. We know what it says. Yes. There's going to be a blessing in the midst of the earth. There's going to be a huge revival all through this part of the Middle East. Hallelujah. And if you're going to be in the lead boat, understanding what God is doing in Israel and in the Arab nations, so that you know how to pray for Islam in your own nation, if you're going to be in that lead boat, you need to know this is the day. In that day is this day. Look what it says here. Verse 23. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. This highway is what we're looking at right now. This highway is a great spiritual awakening in the Middle East, and it's happening now. It's a highway of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I love these brothers. These guys, I know all, we all know each other. A couple of them have died since we started doing this. Let me just give you one example. We were in a hotel in Cyprus, about 120 of us. There were Palestinians, there were Iraqis, there were Syrians. Their lives were in danger if they were caught being with an Israeli, so we couldn't be with them at the airport. There were Egyptians, there were Lebanese. Pastors, wives, youth leaders. We're sitting in this circle, and a man from Egypt said he had a word, and he got up, and he walked out into the circle, and he said, I was in the Six-Day War, and it was horrible. He's an old man. And he said, all my friends were killed, the Israelis were killed, there was blood everywhere. And he said, and I wanted to get back to Egypt, so I walked at night. I was terrified, and I saw a fire, and I started walking toward it, and the fire started coming to me, and I met Jesus in the desert, and I fell down and met him, and I got back home, and I became a pastor. But I hated the Jews because we were at war with them. But he was born again. Then the Yom Kippur War erupted, and he was called back in the army. The same thing happened, terrible battles and so on. He got back to Egypt miraculously. And the Lord said to him one time, he would only carry the New Testament. Too much about the Jews in the Old Testament. And so he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, if you don't love who I love, you don't love me. So he said this in front of all these Arabs and Jews sitting there. His name's Emil Boutros. He went to be with the Lord last year. He became the president of the largest Bible school in the Middle East. And he taught all his Bible school students God's purposes for Egypt and the Jewish people. Emil came to our congregation in Haifa. He went to the Knesset, our parliament, and met with a group of members of parliament and gave his full testimony about how he met Jesus and got filled with the Holy Spirit and received the love for the Jews. And it was on the front page of the Jerusalem Post. And so one of the members of parliament raised his hand and said, "Well, Pastor Emil, will we have peace?" And he said, "How can you have peace with an ideology that wants to destroy you?" I mean, he understood what was going on more than Israeli politicians did. The battle in the Middle East is not about people. It's not about flesh and blood. It's about principalities and powers in the heavenlies. And your worship, your praise, your prayers, your prophesying, your preaching, we can pull down those strongholds. And you can do it in your nation. You can, look, I know what's happening with Islam in your nation, but it's a harvest field. If you'll look at it that way, it is a harvest field. When Muslims come to the Lord, it is amazing. They don't know God as their Father. And when they realize Jesus died for them, they are undone. They are so filled with thanksgiving and praise. And it's starting to, it's happening in Indonesia. We go to Indonesia, the churches we go to, there's 30,000 people in them. And they're almost all Muslim background believers. And when she sings in Hebrew, they all start weeping. They love the Jews because they just read the Bible and see what it says. Same thing in India. So the church in Britain, Kingdom Faith, and those other boats that you're involved with, they need to get on board the boat right now and pray for the wind of the Spirit to take us to the other side like never before. Things are so fast. They are so accelerated. I said to somebody, how did the thing in Egypt explode? I heard on the news, it was on Facebook. They started talking to each other on Facebook and they all ended up, I mean, then the Egyptian government shut down the internet and all of that. But look, things are happening like that. And God is looking for another generation to get in the boat and go to the other side and take a stand for what the Bible says and be biblically correct and not politically correct. And it can change your nation. Yes, it can. It can change. Look, if the Salvation Army could do it, if Wilberforce could do it, if those people, what about us? Hallelujah. Why can't we do it? It's the same God, isn't it? Glory to God. After Emil gave his testimony, a young pastor, well, he's not so young now, but a pastor from a Jewish pastor from Jerusalem walked out and he said, "My brother, I was on the battlefield of the Yom Kippur War. My men died. I hated you Egyptians. But I met Jesus, and now I love you. And I embrace God's purposes for Egypt." Then a big Druze guy got up. The Druze are an Arab sect in Syria, Lebanon, and northern Israel, up where our worship center is. They're not Muslims, but they're Arabs. And they fight in the army of whatever nation they're in. The big Druze guy, he's wearing his regalia, you know, he looked like Abraham or something, you know, with his beard and his stuff and all that. And he walks up, great big guy. They're fierce in battle, believe me. My two boys were in the army, their officers were Druze. They said, "Those Druze are tough guys." So the Druze guy walks up and he says, "I was on the battlefield in the Yom Kippur War. I'm an Israeli, you know, I got some problems with the Jews, but I'm an Israeli. And I want to tell you, I love Jesus. I'm the elder in this village he's an elder in a village, in a Druze village in Galilee, and he sits in the gates and tells them about Jesus. Hallelujah. And he said, "And I didn't like the Egyptians because my friends died, but I love you." I thought he was going to crush these two guys, you know. But it was a little taste of the highway. In that day, this is the foretaste of what God is doing and what he's about to do. And we need to see it. Now, I'd like to teach more on this, but I got something really burning in my heart. How many of you here are under 30? Raise your hand. Can you all come down here for a moment? Come on, come on. I'm going to embarrass you. Come on, all the way. Get up here. Oh, my God, hallelujah. Get up here as close as you can, okay? Listen to me. What you've just heard is the Word of God. We shouldn't neglect it. We don't want to reject it. We just want to embrace it. And I know it's difficult what you hear on the news and what you hear in the universities and all of that. But if you will stand on the Word of God, you can change not only your generation, but your nation. I'm telling you, God is looking for young people. He's looking for old people, too. Well, he's not finished. I had a birthday yesterday. I won't tell you how old. He's looking for young people. And I want to say to you, I did an interview in an Israeli newspaper 2 weeks ago because I was an actor, and I know Denzel Washington and all these people. And Denzel had come to Israel to see me, and it got in the newspapers and stuff. Denzel's a believer. Pray for him, man. So he was all in the newspaper. So they're doing this interview of me, and this guy's crying, the interviewer. And he said, tell me, you met Jesus in New York City. Did he touch you? What did he look like? I mean, he said, put me in the scene. This guy's a great writer. He wrote this incredible story of my whole testimony with pictures of Denzel and Anthony Hopkins, all these people I work with and so on. And he says to me at the end, he says, what would you like to see in Israel? I said, I would like to see more righteous government, integrity in government, and I would like to see a generation that, like in the days of Elijah prayed, Lord, turn their hearts to you. I said, I would like to see a generation of Jews and Arabs in Israel seek his face. That they would be the generation of Jacob who seek you. And he says, where's that? I said, it's Psalm 24. He's crying. Karen's showing him in Hebrew. He didn't know his own scriptures. But there's a generation of Jacob, Yaakov. Jacob had to be broken. Jacob was full of pride. Jacob wrestled with God. God wrestled with him all night and hurt his hip, and he limped. I call it victory's limp. He was humble. That's what's going to happen to Israel. And you need to be in that generation who seek his face. If you will be those seekers, if you will seek him with all your heart, if you will search for him, it means you won't let go until you get a hold of God. If you will be that generation, you will be the Elisha generation. You will be the generation of Joshua that went in and took the land while old Moses was up there praying. Hallelujah. And so the Lord is speaking to you that this is your moment. This is the day. This is the day. Get in the boat. Get in the boat and don't row a lot. Just pray for the wind and let the Holy Spirit blow you. Amen. Hallelujah. Karen, why don't you come? Okay, we're going to just do something here prophetically, I think. Karen, let's do Kadosh in Hebrew and Arabic. Can we do that? Listen to me. We're going to sing from the book of Revelations. The words will be up here for you. You can sing it in English. And we're going to do it prophetically that God is going to send a great wind of the Holy Spirit to Britain. And that you will be the generation that will cry out for the Jews, that will cry out for Israel, and will cry out for Islam. And I'm telling you, it's starting. The shaking is starting now in Egypt, right according to the word. And if you will cry out, Lord, for a great revival in the Egyptian, in the Egyptian church. That's what the pastors are saying. Get the church praying. Get them praying. Now's our moment. There are hundreds of thousands of young Egyptians all over the streets who aren't into Islam, who aren't religious. They're open to the gospel. Now is the time. And you are the ones. You are the ones. When I saw this worship team, I'll tell you, I was told Karen, I'm so happy I'm here. I wanted to jump and run around this place and just praise God. This is something so special. It's so special to the Lord. You worshipers, you have a gift. you get on your face before the Lord and keep getting more songs, not just for Horsham. Praise God. I'm seeing, I know you're writing these songs. I read who writes them. You don't need songs from America or Australia. You need the song of the Lord for Britain. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Watch the words and let's worship together. Amen. And we're prophesying over the highway, the Isaiah 19 highway, Israel, Egypt, and all these nations, a blessing in the midst of the earth, and England will be blessed because of it. Amen. Okay, here we go. Kadosh, Kadosh.
Hallelujah. We're going to sing in Hebrew and in Arabic today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh.
Chose the name the Elisha generation. Elisha went with his spiritual father to the Jordan. All the other people in the Bible school, all the rest of the church stood back at a distance. The 50 sons of the prophets. Elisha went to the Jordan all the way with Elijah. And he said to him, he wanted a double portion of his spirit. Elijah took his old beat-up cloak. He hit that Jordan River. This father and the son, the two generations, went down into the Jordan on dry ground. Jordan means to go down in humility, Jordan. It's the place of baptism, dying to the old life and coming up in newness of life. And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Elijah was taken. That next, last gen, that young generation was on the other side of the Jordan. Spiritual father was gone. And this thing was laying on the ground. He picked that thing up, and it was his daddy's, you know, father's clothes, their children. He went back to that Jordan. He was weeping, saying, Avi, Avi, my father, my father. He hit the Jordan. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The Jordan opened up. That generation, those young people, Elisha went through on dry ground, and all the rest of the church, the Laodicean, lukewarm people that didn't want to go all the way with Jesus, they said, wow, the spirit of Elijah is on Elisha. Raise your hands. Let's all stand. This is for both generations. Abba vino b'shamayim anachnu modim l'cha, Lord Kingdom Faith, ani mevakesh mincha, lishpoka ruach ha-kodesh aleihem, ha-boker hazeh. Lord, I ask you that you would pour out your spirit on Kingdom Faith, that a new wind would blow this boat, that the sails would catch the wind of the Holy Spirit like never before. We pray for Clive. We pray for Pastor Colin. We pray for the leaders. We pray for the pastor that they will catch the vision. I hear the vision. I sense the vision in my spirit, and that there will be a huge throng of people getting into that boat and all those boats following. And there will be young boats. There will be new boats. There will be youth groups, youth teams, however you want to do it, Lord. Lord, I pray over everyone in this place, you would release a double portion of your spirit. And your heart for Britain and your heart for Israel in the Middle East. Lord, you are able to do it. Lord, this is the generation. This is the generation that seek your face. Lord, do that to us, we pray. If you got garbage you need to get rid of, lay it up here at the altar. Just say, I don't want it anymore. If you're battling with something, just lay it down. It's the throne of grace. Come boldly to his throne of grace in time of need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless this church. I told my wife during the worship, I am so moved. I have been to so many churches, different parts of the world, where the next generation isn't raised up. The older people hold on. This has refreshed my spirit this morning. There is hope for England. Hallelujah. 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 Pastor Colin, I bless you. We have many, many teachers, and I know you're one of the great teachers, but we have few fathers. I thank you for the mantle of fatherhood that rests upon you. And I thank you for what God is doing here.
Just pray for a minute, shall we? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for fresh grace upon us as a people to walk in what you have spoken, declared, and mandated for this day, today at this time. Father, I thank you in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, now is the time, today is that day of your salvation, of your favor. This is it. And you reiterate it and then repeat it and says, now is the day, the time of your salvation. Father, I thank you that we are living in the day, as we heard this morning. Father, we just want to lift the nation of Egypt to you right now. Father, we thank you that in the midst of what looks from the outside in the natural mess, chaos, calamity, we know, Father, from your point of view, it's the stirrings of your spirit at work in amongst all of that, to work out your plan of salvation, to open up this highway of holiness right through the Middle East. Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome name that you're at work. Father, we thank you. In these days, we're going to hear stories of how people have got saved, how people had visions of who you are, how people were totally transformed as you met with them. You revealed who you were. You are into their lives. Father, we just pray for that nation. We lift up Egypt before your throne of grace right now. We ask you that you would continue to move by your spirit. Do something unprecedented in these days that will confound the wisest in man's eyes. That you would do something in these days in that nation, that your kingdom would advance and advance forcefully ahead of any other religion, above every other ideology, that your kingdom would advance forcefully in that nation as men and women take hold of you within that nation and outside going into that land. We praise your awesome name, Father. We thank you that your hand is at work, that you are in control, that there's nothing to fear. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. Father, we thank you for David and Karen. Father, we thank you for the prophetic anointing and mandate that is upon their life. Thank you that they're pioneers making a way. Thank you they're raising up a whole new generation after them that are running in the things of God, that are going to run ahead in these coming years and days to see even more happen than they've seen in their time and in their generation. The same here, Father, that these younger guys here and the others still to come will see far more than any of us have seen that of an older generation. That they would run and carry the things of God with greater momentum, seeing greater breakthroughs and release of your kingdom on earth. Father, I thank you. Father, you've got a way of opening up church streams and other apostolic networks and all the other the things in this nation where people have a different way of thinking, where people aren't lined up with your word, where they have replacement theology or they're pro this, that, and the other, but they don't really come from your word or understand it. Father, we ask you that you would open up doors that no man can shut. You would bring us into situations where we can bring the word and bring understanding and tell of what you're doing in the nation of Israel, in the Middle East, in a way that will confound the wisdom of men, will confound religiosity, will confound deception and confusion, and the spirit of truth will be at work in the body of Christ, in the church, in this nation, bring an understanding of your word. And especially, Father, I ask you that you would open up loads of opportunities for this younger generation all over this nation. New churches that are just accelerating with loads of teens and 20s and 30s. Father, give us opportunity to speak into the life of those things with your word and with your truth. Open those things up according to your purpose and not our own efforts. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome, mighty, wonderful name. And everybody gave a great shout to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We praise your name. Praise your awesome name. Your mighty name, your great name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus, don't you? Don't you kind of sense just something in here that's like, whoa, come on, you know? Because God's got that in here. That's how he is in his nature and his character. There's a gentleness to God, you know, but yet there's a warrior spirit that God is placing in this generation, not at, when I say this, I mean our, at the people that are alive in this generation. But God's got loads for you guys to carry. And, you know, when you read some of the scriptures God's been giving us recently, it talks about oxen who can carry a heavy load. And, you know, God is working amongst us so that we're not just concerned about our own life. Well, what am I going to get out of it? Or, you know, what, you know, if I'm part of this church, what am I going to benefit? And God's raising up a kind of believer that's a bit more mature than that. Or there's a growing stage we go through that. But in some of the scriptures, it's talking about us being carriers of something for a nation or for nations. People that can carry, as it says, a heavy load. An oxen can pull a lot and break up fallow ground and can keep going and going and going. Why? Because there's a capacity there to break through fallow ground, you know, hard ground. And that's the kind of believers that God's raising up, I believe, in these days. Those that can carry the things of God, not as a burden that's heavy, but a light burden, but they can carry something that is weighty in God. And that's what he's raising up in our generation of time that we're alive in. So we're part of something so much bigger than who we are, but yet, as we say yes to God, he can fulfill what he wants to do through us and our part of the picture that God is doing in this nation and in many other nations. So God's on the move. I heard some great stories this week of some phenomenal stuff happening in churches. People, you know, loads of people getting saved around this nation. Churches that have been seen as maybe fairly contemporary and hot spots, but in certain ways need a real move of the Spirit in another dimension, have been just opening up, giving God space for him to move, and God's been stepping in and wrecking certain plans and the way they do certain things. And these are some of the younger churches that are really rising and seen as some of the new things on the block. And in the last couple, 2 or 3 months, you know, God's invaded as they've kind of, and we realize, hey, we need to give more space for God to move and not just do our thing. And there's other churches that are flowing in different ways, and there's just some awesome stuff that is going on. But we know one of the key messages that a lot of churches don't have or understand is everything to do with, heard this morning, to do with Israel,
biblical understanding. What does God say? How are we as the church part of that? And what do we do as a nation in terms of praying? And what part do we play? And so there's a lot of stuff to do. And it's one of our core purposes, Kingdom Faith, is that mandate, being a lead boat in relation to Israel. So that's going to unfold more and more and more. And we're still praying into that and wanting to really see what God's going to do. But we're going to give some time at Faith Camp to do with Israel. We've got Marcel, Rabbi E, coming to Faith Camp. And he is one new man in one person, actually. He thought it was a... Was it? He thought he was an Arab, and then he realised he was actually a Jew, and because of his birth thing. So actually, we're going to have one new man in Christ in one person with us at Faith Camp. An amazing story, testimonies, understanding of what God's doing. So it's going to be awesome. Are you ready for a great day? It started pretty well. It's going to be an awesome week this week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.